Blog Talk Radio. All right, guys. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you guys for tuning in to Hanson & Witness Radio. I'm your host, Haru, the Seventh Oracle, and I am honoring Brother Panic. You know, Brother Panic has taught me a lot. And one of the lectures that was interesting was The Wizard of Oz. I'm nervous because I know he's listening. But The Wizard of Oz was a great lecture, you guys. And I want to play it. So I want to play a few more songs to go in. But this is like a seven hour lecture, I think. So I'm going to break these up in parts, but I'm going to honor him in this moment. Brother Penny, I appreciate you. And for all that you do and that Bobby do, you know, do and did, you know what I'm saying? So gratitude to you.
Can hardly spell her name.
That's not our problem, that's up to Brenda's family.
Well, let me show you how it affects our whole community. Now Brenda really never knew her mom's, and her dad was a junkie putting death into his own. It's sad, cause I bet Brenda doesn't even know. The treasure in the ghetto doesn't mean you can't grow. But that's a book, my own revelation. Do whatever it takes to resist the temptation. Brenda got herself a boyfriend. Her boyfriend was a cousin, now let's lost the joy. And she tried to hide her pregnancy from a family who really didn't care to see or give a damn if she went out and had a church of kids. As long as when the check came, they got first dibs. Now Brenda's belly's getting bigger, but no one seems to notice any change in her figure. She's 12 years old and she's having a baby, in love with a molester who's sexing her crazy. And your aunt also thinks that'll be with her forever, and dreams of a world with the two of them are together. Whatever, he left her and she had the baby solo. She had it on the bathroom floor and didn't know, so she didn't know what to throw away and what to keep. She wrapped the baby up and threw him in a trash heap. I guess she thought she'd get away with hear the cry. She didn't realize how much the little baby had an eye. Now the baby's in the trash, bawling. Mama can't help her, but it hurts to hear her calling. Brenda wants to run away. Mama say you're making me lose pay, and social work is here every day. Now Brenda's gotta make her own way. Can't go to a family, they won't let her stay. No money, no babysitter, she couldn't keep a job. She tried to sell crack, but ends up getting robbed. So now what's next? It ain't nothing left to sell. So she sees sex as a way of leaving hell. It's paying the rent, so she really can't complain. Prostitute fam, swing. And Brenda's her name, she gotta beg.
Yeah. Is the funniest movie of the year.
I want to see that. Gay guys are my jam.
Awesome. It's a new twist on the romantic comedy. As hilarious as it is historic.
You can't say Lincoln was gay.
If we don't do this, we're letting the heaven.
What? Huh? What?
All right.
Wait a minute. Was Lincoln gay?
Oh, believe it or not. This is the third time I'm doing this video. What this means is this. The information that you're going to get this time must be some real deal shit. I was told you can judge the potency of the revealing based upon how much invisible resistance you get. Bobby Hunter. And this one has been a mother. the first time I decoded, first let me point out that I decoded this movie before, and there's a decoding of it in my book, a thorough one, breaking down the names and the chakra path, which still exists, that still holds up as a model in this movie, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz. So you don't have to take one thing and throw it away and replace it with another. Just be proud that you can understand these things on different layers, because that's a testimonial to your transformation, which is the point of all of this shit. So one doesn't cancel the other. Or the next man's interpretation of the same information is just as valid. This stupid, asinine idea that there's a debate competition between just information is probably your greatest indication that you're listening to a fucking fool. Some nigga that's there for likes. Mm. This is really, and has always been, just an information share with the idea to do as thou wilt with the information. So if someone has that in their heart, they should be listening to everyone to extract the relevant information to them. The idea of one person has figured out something and the other person has got it wrong is a stupid fucking notion. So I urge you to judge who you are listening to based upon the value and the intention. Are they doing it for likes? Are they teaching you anything? Or are they explaining to you how smart they are? You got to do that. I'm just only displaying what I went through. Therefore, I don't have the intention to sell you on nothing, make you convinced of nothing, make you know what I know, believe as I believe. I just know the progress I made, I manifested, show you what it is, and show you how I got there. You do as you want with it. That's always been the story of this. So, we truly have to get out of this old mindset, debating and competition, and I like him and I like this one. This is about you. All of it is about you. I'm so tired of doing this goddamn lecture. I did 7 hours the first time. What I did differently, I went through the movie frame by frame almost. But I streamed it. So therefore, Zoom only recorded a black screen. That's how they protect themselves. So you got a whole 7-hour video of me talking to a black screen. Though the information is incredible, I still might just turn that into an audio. But truth be told, pretty much everyone has seen this movie a gazillion times and probably already knows what I'm talking about without visual. So it took me an entire morning to find the DVD, go to an old computer, find the DVD to MP3 software that I purchased, and find that key to put it on the new computer. Then put it on another old computer, because none of the new computers have CD-ROMs. So I finally did that, and when I got it, I was able to put it on a backup, bring it to the new computer. All that shit took all fucking morning to do. So when I finally had it, I did the second tape. This time, not streaming, I have a local copy on my computer that I'm going from. Sure enough, the images showed up. And that tape was for 5 hours, going through frame by frame. So I put it on YouTube, 100 and something views later, down, Warner Brothers flagged it. I never did anything like that. So I figured it could have been a problem. Like, it was just so fire going through frame to frame. So here's what's going to happen now. I am so excited. It is 12:49 a.m. Friday night. I have to get up, at 5:30 to 6. This, I'm going to try to get through it quick, maybe a couple hours, maybe not. But that's how dedicated I am to getting this to you, because I think this particular revealing of the Wizard of Oz starts going into some real serious area of who and what we are. All right. First, I'm going to say something. 2012. That's now. Think about it. 2021. Turn the 21 around. What do you got? 2012. This is the real 2012. 2012 that's coming is the birth of the new world. You need to know that. You have to be psychologically prepared. What's that preparation? You have to deal with the hidden self. Otherwise, I need you to understand something. This was also a revealing that happened. I probably would have did this tape over on Sunday until I seen this shit. I already told you that white people understanding spiritual shifts that you don't, that you're still debating about, trying to convince yourself of, swearing is yours, like nobody else exists down here but you, or no one knows this but you. Folly. They know it and they're reacting to it. You just came out of the Kali Yuga. You guys should know, or watch my last lecture about it, or watch Bobby Hemmer and whoever else, you know what I'm saying? We're ending this era. And in this era, there was a phenomenon going on. What is the Kali Yuga? Let me explain it from this point of view, or the Kali Yuga point of view. Kali Yuga, or Kali, and let's look this up now. Let's see what they say, if they say. Kali Yuga's followers. Yeah, there we go. Thuggies. Oh, forget the thuggies were represented in Indiana Jones. He's the chief thuggy. But let's see, let's say like a Wikipedia may say, all news. Oh, should we share this screen? I'm just being lazy. All right, share screen. So thuggy in Wikipedia, let's see what it says. All right, so thuggy refers to that who are organized gangs of professional robbers and murderers. The English word thug traces its roots to the Hindi, which means swindler or deceiver. Swindler or deceiver relates to words sugna, to deceive, from the Sanskrit sathaga, cunning, sly, fraudulent. He conceals. The term describing the murder and robbery of travelers. Travelers. Remember that word. Was popular in the northern part of India, subcontinent, blah, 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 blah. So you got the idea. So group of thuggies, 1894. Oh, look closely. Does anyone see Tupac? Does anyone see Pac in there by a thug light? So the thuggies, let me see if they just connect them. Let's do thuggy. So y'all see it, y'all can go there. Let's do thuggy and Kali. Alright, so it comes up again. Thuggies, it's on Wikipedia. This thuggies refer to that thug gang, professional robbers. Thuggies considered themselves to be the children of Kali, having been created from her sweat. However, many of these thuggies were captured and blah, blah, blah. So thuggies are the children of Kali. Tupac was a thuggie. He was the children of Kali, or child of Kali. Or Tupac was a child of the Kali Yuga. What is the thuggie for real? It's the exact thing I was telling you about the shadow self. The thuggie creation. Sweat can represent stress or distress or fear. He's sweating because, you know, I got that nigga under the lights. He's sweating. So we create these spooks, thuggies, or shadows. It's the kind of thing, you know, that bitch got an attitude. You don't want to go in there and do that. But if you talk to that bitch, whoever she is, she thinks she's very fair and very just. Because the outside of her has created this invisible thuggy or spook or shadow to protect her. Because she's really scared that someone's going to say some shit or do some shit. And she vows, they ain't never going to do that to me. No nigga's ever going to do that to me. Or ain't no bitch ever going to do that to me. So we call it, that's a sensitive area for that person. Oh, don't talk about that. She gets sensitive. What she did, she's not sensitive, but an aspect of her that is hidden in her to protect herself, once she senses it, she calls on that thuggy to come and do work. Oh, you talking about my mama again? Yo, let me tell you something. My mama's dead, and you may see it like that, but that attitude, that emotion, that always comes up when somebody mentions the one thing, is actually one of your shadows that came out to protect you because you were cowardly. Or we're going to get very much into that. So we understand truly the physical manifestation is everything they said there. But this has a spiritual reality. It's based on the spirituality. So, of course, we know Tupac had thug lice across his chest. So, I always was like, you know, I'm pretty much the same age as him. So, the magic of Tupac never really went on me. I was a rap creator, so therefore, his records never really, he's going to feel me. He's going to feel me. But try to tell that shit to somebody. It's the worst you can do. One year, Kanye West said some real shit. As crazy as he is, he said, well, Tupac wasn't really this or that. He was really evaluating his skill set. And anybody with a real musical skill set, it was always a dual thing. And then I found out why a little bit later. I was like, nah, new records. It was so shallow to me, right? But that's my opinion. So when Kanye said it, I was like, but it was the dumbest thing you could ever say. Because he's loved. But half the reason he's loved, most of the people who actually love him don't even know what the fuck he was doing or what he stood for, really. Wasn't there when he shot up the club that time at Palladium, trying to figure out if there's a white man in this. But then, well, before we get to that, because I'm going to tell you the revelation. And somebody might have already figured out 2021, 1 and 2 is 12. Oh, if they haven't, then yeah, nigga. But, or maybe you have. But we're in 2012. Now, this spring, y'all going to see a magic show. Mark my words. And like I said, I told you that they're going to make the poor white trash the absolute number one enemy. That's their army that they're killing off. They don't need them anymore. I'm going to tell you how you make armies. You got to create shadows. How the shadows are created? Through abuse, through pretty much the entire black condition, creates this whole shadow world. That's what they were saying in The Sopranos. Based upon their abuse and their lifestyles of Costa Nostra, you have to build up shadows. The shadows are willing to do the dirty work. So when they're murdering, how do you live with that in your conscience? Well, it's a conscience. And they dealt with that in Sopranos. I can't sleep. I'm having dreams. So your humanity and your morality, whatever that was taught, was that's what you're following. But how are you doing this in the first place? What zone are you getting? Who are you calling on? Watch the Charles Manson on HBO. There's a 6-part miniseries on Charles Manson, real good. But it'll show you that if you watch him, he knew how to talk to the people's spook, shadow, the thuggy in them. And he honed in on the abuse. He told them once he found out how they were abused, like a pimp, he told them how he's their daddy. They need more fish sticks. He's the guy with fish sticks. They need less fish sticks. He's going to take the fish sticks away. And once the person starts seeing that he knows how to speak to that thing my parents didn't, that's why I ran away in the first place, why I'm out in the street looking for something. I didn't get it at home. He just has to find out what you're looking for. And connect you symbolically to him as the source. This is mind control 101. This is what he did. He was saying in court, where did you get these kids from? He said, y'all gave them to me. What he was saying is y'all motherfuckers abused them enough that they're sitting out there looking for a predator like me. He's saying, I'm just doing what I got to do. But y'all the one who keeps supplying me with the fresh meat. One of his biggest supporters was on mind control. In pimping, they call it bottom bitch, was a girl named Squeak. And she just was all about that Charlie life. And Charles got convicted or pleaded guilty to something or something he did that was against the code. You see her sitting there outside. You said there's a motherfucker who started from, what did they say, some location in California and crawled from this location a few miles to the courthouse, crawled on her hands and knees. She says she still has scars and can't do this and that and the other. These motherfuckers was gone. This was mind control. And if anybody ever walked one fucking California block for whatever reason, I walked one block to go to Fatburger, and I was fat. So you know that shit was heavy. And they crawled this motherfucker. These motherfuckers was gone. So they told Tweet, or whoever, I think it was Tweet, she's talking regular. Yeah, so Tweet, you know he got convicted. She said, you see her. And come back gone and start spewing all of that. Charlie is not really free on the inside. You can trap his body, but not his mind. And you see her go into the altar or the buggy. We just call it that nigga got mad. Or what? But he just lost it. What was you talking about? And he said his pop. And he said, implied his pops is pussy and he lost it. Some in that shadow is what you talk, the buggy. So, now that we know what the thuggy is, Biden gets up and starts calling all of those riders, which I told you. All that shit's a setup. Now, what they're going to do is make poor white trash the new niggers. You can no longer be the niggers. You, in the golden age, if they oppress you, your realization is what they're scared of. What they need to do is pretend they're appeasing you. So you don't look elsewhere or inward for your leadership. You want to say, oh, they're being much nicer. finally they get our point. Finally all our marching days off. Finally those ancestors. Finally who we vote for. Oh, Kamala. Listen, Kamala is Kalima. Kamala, Kalima. Kamala, Kalima. But what they're trying to do is take that energy and raise it up for them. Kamala is Kalima. Biden gets on and says, these thugs, these insurrectionists, these motherfuckers, these son of a bitches, these thugs, these thugs, these thugs. So there's the new thugs. But then it hit me, I said, yeah, thugs, thugs, like, oh, Kali, thuggies. He's defining them now as the new thuggies, which all has to go. The Kali Yuga. Well, what were they created for? How did they get created? When the whites came over, supposedly, there was a rich class who were slave owners, but there were also other whites who came over and were sent over as indentured servants. They owed money to the rich on that side. So to pay off their debt, they were sold too. They were shipped here too. The thing is, they just wasn't getting a whip to their back. But they had debts to pay. So they became overseers. Mind you, all you have to do is look at Australia's history. Europe had that. They just got all, they just ran, they were trying to purify themselves. So all their thugs and low, what they find is low class, assholes, and I said, let that podcast get the fuck out and sent them to Australia. All the whites in Australia, B.O.B., went to Australia early 2019, early 2019 or 2020, went to Australia. He said, yo, he's never met poor white trash as much, or encountered it, I should say, as much as he has in Australia, more so than anything in America. I said, yeah, they're the same stock. Listen closely. The redneck. He said that shit is the standard of operation in Australia. Never encountered so much. But they're the same thing. That's a class of whites. So after, I mean, and I'm sure I told this story, but if you don't know, after slavery was over, you had the overseer and the rich man. The rich man was like, I'm not dealing with this shit. That's what we created these dumb whites for. Now, all they have to do is keep us in opposition so they can eat, do whatever their agenda is. Let's just say that. They need to keep us fighting, us in conflict. You know what I'm saying? So they needed mind control specialists for two groups, Republican, Democrat. The Democrats are there to mind control niggers, and Republicans are there to mind control whites, the poor whites. They do it with hope, pathways to hope. Just keep fucking with us, and, you know, we shall overcome. And, you know, you too can be Donald Trump if you work hard in America and let the government stay out. So they're all behind Trump because they think he's a fucking success story. If they really wanted to end Trump, all they have to do is just expose his records for real, for real. They keep hitting and saying he ain't got no money, but show he ain't got no money. And then they'll be like, well, he doesn't really offer a psychological hope. But at this point, they're actually past that. He enraged them because all of us are actually walking around enraged. That's why we create shadows and thuggies. So they were keeping us at bay so we could have this animosity, this anger, and you create all of these hidden personalities to deal with it. And so they know that. That was the order of the day. But they needed to keep it at bay. So what they were doing is saying, if black people rise up in the Kali Yuga because these thugs get out of control based upon the trip, we have an army. That white trash is getting the same rough eating jelly sandwich, doing worse, sister fucking, living in the hills, turning into fucking Frankenstein fucking each other. And so they have a lot of shadows and hate and animosity in them. So this war, they kept talking about, it's them saying that shit. There's a war coming, there's a war coming. Donald Trump is just stupid enough, and they put him there for that reason, to start exposing this mind control that they were under and bring it to the next level. They wanted that behavior. Now that the world has seen it, see, all Donald Trump did is went to say what he normally would say, whether he was aware of it or not. The crowd was all stirred up, and all they need is 5-6 government agents to start walking towards the Capitol. Start breaking shit, then the rest of them are joining the mob mentality. That's mind control 101, mob mentality. That's a chapter. You got a few actors who's really leading this shit. They wanted that. Now that these images are there, they have the beginning. And that's why they keep telling me it's the beginning. It's the beginning. The beginning is, it's the beginning of the end for them. So what they're first doing is showing all them niggas have their feet kicked up in Nancy Pelosi's office that them niggas is caught putting his name. They're showing, how do you do that? You're not getting away. Your face is on everything. This computer I'm on, it signs in through my face. Nigga, they got you. This is all a grand show. But the key is what they're doing is putting this old energy on display, and they're going to sacrifice those whites. It's going to be shameful to do that. It's going to be morally, irreprehensible to do this. And the personification of that entire framework of behavior, that entire white trash, KKK, skinhead, you know, Hail Hitler thing, actually they're doing away with it. They didn't before because it could have turned into an army. If we started doing that to the Capitol, you get what I'm saying? Now they don't need that army no more. We're in the golden age. We're in the age of peace. So you're going to see a big peaceful thing coming. What they're really trying to do is get into the mood to continue to rule you. Still appease you enough to match the climate of what they create with what's going on in your heart in this new golden age. So when you look in your heart and say, oh, I feel this way, if you look around and Biden's telling you how much he loves you and how fair he's going to be, and Kamala Harris is sitting there with that dumbass smile trying to show you black woman we've made it, again, look at us. And you might just say, oh, yeah, we have. Why change was working here, especially when we worked so hard to get there. This is all mind control. And then connecting Biden to Thug, as soon as he kept saying, Thug, that's Tupac came through. And Tupac said, I am the personification of the Kali Yuga. What do you mean, nigger? Now, we know he had the thug life on his stomach, and I knew he was a thug, but it used to always bother me. What the fuck is this nigger's point? One minute, Brenda had a fucking baby, and he needed to save her. And then the next minute, shoot him up, kill Biggie with his fat ass. Fuck his mama, too. I fuck Faith. Damn mama, but I fuck Faith and did this and turned her out and threw her away. This contradiction I can never come to terms with. As a spiritual message, as a person who gives a fuck, he's flawed like everyone else. But then dealing with the shadow self and the shadow concept, what he's showing me is what was in his heart was to save black people. Brenda's have a baby, dear mama. But this world created, you know, his mom's name is Tupac, but this world created the thug-like image that had to shoot guns in the air, fuck niggas up, blah, blah, blah. But then his heart is what makes him get out of the limousine when a cop is abusing another black man and actually put himself in jeopardy of arrest or being shot himself, because that's what's in his heart. But the dual nature, which we're going to get into, the Kali Yuga here, I mean the Cowardly Lion here, is a dual nature thing. So he's and is the problem, is the reality of the Kali Yuga. I showed you in this picture right here, in the last one, all of these heads represent the invisible spooks that Shiva created. And he represents the man or the woman. This is about energy, not about people. He represents the man or the woman. The key out of this place is understanding the divine feminine. We want to get into this. Now I feel I had to do this 3 times because there's going to be some shit. Now it's like I'm almost an expert in this area. This, these are the thuggies. And these are Tupac. Shoot them up, shoot them up, shoot them up, shoot them up. This is the innocent dead mama down here. This, when they're together, is a contradiction. When Kali comes, she separates the thuggies and takes off the heads. She takes off the head and she drinks the blood so you can't spawn through abuse. Another one. It's the realization of the dark selves. It is the actual idea of Tupac. The contradiction that we don't see is what we're dealing with now. Remember I said in the last one, you don't see it, but your sister will describe you as a fucking asshole. Your wife will sometimes describe you, yeah, you're good and I love you, you know. But when you do that, asshole, and, you know, your friends just don't come around. And they were friends for them, but they don't want to fuck with you. Or you don't want, you think you don't want to fuck with them, but they don't want to fuck with you either. You don't want to fuck with each other. All of this because there was a whole invisible fight with your insecurities. And those insecurities are thuggies. Because those thuggies, it's not like a friend says something, hey, man, you know that hurts. I'm insecure. But when he says something that hits your insecurity, you fight back with sarcasm. You fight back with pouting. You fight back with, fuck that nigga. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to do this now. Or what? Oh, you need like that. I'm trying to fuck his girl. Shit like that. Those are thuggies. And Tupac, he was a clone. I fucking get it. He said, now you figure this shit out. I could not figure this nigga out. He's becoming my dreams. I'm like, what are you saying? Never say that. I'm just like slapping hands. Like, yeah. Listen, I don't even like the song. Like, and that's a personal preference. I don't like the song. When you feel me, everything was the same one thing. What put it in perspective for me was Grandmaster Caz, actually. He was just speaking, and he's like, a Tupac wasn't nothing as a lyricist, but he made you feel something from his heart. He like, I said, God damn it. Actually, yeah. Like, as a rapper, you didn't feel it, but you felt the presence of his heart on it. So that, I can, you know, supreme thoughts in terms of that, and that's clear, and that's really what his magic is and what most people feel, the honesty. So the honesty aspect of Tupac is what we see, and if we're all honest, we have a dual nature. The first light side is the shit you think you are. I'm going to paint. I can't even teach. I can't even, but there's 1,000 niggas. Yeah, you learn this shit from him. That nigga too happy. He eats on camera. And you got you. You got you, bitch. And I do that, number one, because I'm fucking hungry. And number two, because this is not no profession. This is a information share. And that's all you need. And that's all you need. Not worried about my etiquette. So people who are worried about that, they ain't hearing this. It ain't for them. This is for those who can hear it. Because it's your time to get off of this boat. Well, let me say this. You told them it's your time for the boat to start moving again, to be quite honest. All right. So him calling these people thuggies, he's trying to put them and classify them as the heads that need to come off of. They're telling, white people are telling you, you need to cut this head off because it will not work with what's happening now spiritually. Palama Kalima. Kalima, my real name is Kamala. Get the fuck out of here. Kamala. Kalima. Alright? This now, more than ever, the art of war. Khadija said she knew this, so it may be known information. Just it didn't occur to me. Anytime it came up, nobody would ever straighten me out. And it could apply both ways. But this is about waging war on your own shadow self. This is not, it can be used how to engage or disengage and control physical war or your boss at work, depending on what level. But the real secret message in the art of war, the art of fighting without fighting, is how to control, understand the shadow. And that will help y'all get to a place where in the end of the Kali Yuga, I've been just saying, broke this live glass. I need to end it. In the end of the Kali Yuga, you'll be able to get these heads cut off. But that's only if you are absolutely, positively willing to respect, deal with the shadow. As I talked with updates with DOB, he said the greatest thing he ever did, because he has done it, is start apologizing to people. After I told him I did it, and, you know, the results, it wasn't a suggestion for him to, you know, you should do this next. He's not that guy. He's an actual peer in how we talk and deal with each other. So he doesn't follow, but what he heard, he must have heard a trick or a code. Damn. He just did it. You know, and truthfully, his issue was, you know, 16-year-old, first record, Stardom, it was a masterpiece record, and he did exactly what any dream of being a rap star would do. It did it for him. So you got to understand, everybody around him were damn near having nervous breakdowns. And if Ken Shrugger didn't get the book, it's The Art of War by Sun Tzu. It's the art of fighting without fighting. It's the art. It's really talking about how to disengage by understanding the true war. Just like in the movie Revolver, the true war, the enemy is closer than you think. You're talking about your shadow self, your ego, or your ego-inspired characters. I'm going to show you how this shows up, because I'm also going to break down Unbreakable, Split, and Mr. Glass. Now that I can see these things, shit. I'm a end Night Shyamalan's mystery system. That, now I can see, is his best work. I'm never a fan. It's too easy to figure out all his mysterious music and that look he gives me. Come on, straight. Yes, it's in the lake. Lady, what the fuck are you talking about? This movie's terrible. I mean, it's about your chakras. You get it. But I didn't really, you get it, but you don't get it. But once you know the truth, I'm going to fuck y'all up off of Unbreakable alone. And Mr. Glass, your ass split. He just established more for that last finale. But I know the keys to it, and we're going to do that for fun. So it's about the shadow self. I got to give a little shout out. I keep forgetting to Dave Chappelle for this. Even though he's on the edge of consciousness conflicted with his comedy, consciousness seems to be the order of the day for him, and he's got to commit any of it. So I'm an avid movie collector, movie buff, and if you listen to the subtleties in movies beyond decoding them, like I'm about to do with this Oz, you can learn a lot about the entire world. And
Dave Chappelle did a movie early on. I knew one better. When he was a kid, he was doing, whatever he was doing stand-up. There was no Def Jam, there was no none of that. But whatever outlet, my father said, yo, you got to see this black dude. He's clever. That's what my father said. Okay. And it was Dave Chappelle. And so he always stayed in my mind because, you know, just his introduction. And he was clever. Way, I was a absolute fan way before that fucking show. He was a clever motherfucker. Then his HBO special, one of the funniest shits he ever said, and I thought was deep. He said, yo, homeless people. He said, why do you think you don't give a fuck about it? He said, that's because you got trained with Oscar the Grouch. He said, you see homeless people on the floor, you just step over them. Get it together, Grouch. Oh, so funny. So I knew him before that show was into his comedy, which when he was making the announcement that he made a film called Robin Hood Men in Tights, the entire movie did them there in drag. And back then, nobody was still talking about it. I just thought it was a bad movie at my age at the time. But I never forgot. So then Dave Chappelle becomes Dave Chappelle and quits the show for the, you know, they asked me to wear a dress. Well, he quit the show for exploitation, but put all of that on the table. A lot of things he was saying, people were saying, people were coming to Bobby Hemmett telling him, no, Dave watches you. You know, I gave him some shit. And he constantly watches you about Bobby Hemmett. But I told us, it makes sense, he's on it. And we watched Bobby. There's no way he does not know I exist. So he's gone, his dignity, and even in my book, you know, because I labeled everyone and told what movie they were exploited in for the sake of mind control, and then I showed all the black people collectively how it works towards one subliminal message. And that's pretty much the Willie Lynch letter. So the mind control of the Willie Lynch letter was the mind control acted out in Hollywood. So when, in other words, when they introduced Django, this is in my book too, when they introduced Django and you see Django kicking ass, taking names, and, you know, putting slavery on its ass, you get what I'm saying? You were proud of that, and you stood behind it, and you could rescue this woman. But after that, now they opened the door to do slavery movies again. And then I listed all the slavery movies that happened after Django: Roots, 12 Years a Slave, The Butler, and then there's much more. There was one, that Journey Smollett girl, did some runaway shit with that other nigga. He used to be on the college show, the kind of shit when he was a kid. But they did what she called runaway. And then now they're just playing slavery. It took everything to watch 12 Years a Slave, which is based upon the book, which is a movie that was done before. Captain Sisko was the 12-year slave. Where they did it in Amistad, they rationalized this by acting like there's a court system, stole everybody in Amistad, but these three niggas get to go to court to say they're naturally free. So in your mind, what they did in that movie is tell you to trust in the court system, that that's where they bound the shit out. You know, the whole shit is a farce. And they did the same thing, or similar shit like that, or that same kind of mind control, I should say, in like 12 Years a Slave. The real thing where you thought it was about this one guy who's actually free, who they made a mistake and put in slavery. It's like, who the fuck you think? Mistake, I'm a free man. Oh, my bad. Go ahead. It doesn't even make no sense. But you watching it and you investing in it and trying to get free. But what about everybody the fuck else? Then there's nothing that makes them legally anything. So that means there's nothing that makes them legally free, because there's nothing that makes them legally slaves. This is a crime. The whole thing is a crime. But the fact that niggas are sitting there entertaining, that is the trick. What's supposed to be inspired, you're supposed to find those good white people, like how Brad Pitt was. You're supposed to have this hope. No matter what these white people do, have hope and faith in a good way that it'll all get right some way. There's going to be a white, right person, a right person, or something's going to save you. Just don't kill these motherfuckers. All that's mind control. When that white boy sat there and saying, nigga, run, nigga, get it, nigga, I'm gonna get you in that motherfucker's face. In that motherfucker's face, that's the mind control. That's the shit. So in my book, I pointed out, which I had to, that's how they first got him, his first movie. But I said, I commend him for standing up against it. I commend him for saying enough. I commend him. He never had to say, I did it, they got me, that's how I know, which I thought would have been stronger, but because they tried to bring it back on him later. Because after he said it, I remember going to buy records, and they redistributed Robin Hood Men in Tights, and on the DVD cover, they put that nigga wearing a woman's dress. I said, oh, they'll wear this. They know what they're doing. I commended him. But then he was gone for a while. He was the trick. He did sad SNL. Woo! Well, of course, I went in. The biggest thing, to make it simple, was he did all of his old characters. Those were the reasons he left his show in the first place. They were exploitive. You know, that crackhead and, you know, Leonard Jefferson and shit. They were funny motherfuckers. Look here, young bud. And then he walked in the house. Normal dinner cooking bitch. Funny shit. But he realized people weren't laughing with him. They were laughing at him. That was his thing. But to get back in the game, he had to do those characters. That's the sellout move. Even though he killed them in the skit, you still was in character doing it. And that's all they needed you to do. And after that, he's got his specials again on on Netflix, three of them, masterpieces. Then he did a half an hour on something, and people would say, oh, he sold out. So he was hearing that because he went back on SNL, and that fucking monologue he did was legendary. Come and get these nigga lessons. How are you saying that shit on Saturday Night Live? That was the entire punchline. That's called an anchor in mind control. You, in the middle of it, you see them do it all the time. Comedians, they'll crack a joke in the middle of their set. And, well, the joke was, he's like, white people, you got this, that. How do you do that without doing this, without killing a motherfucker, without being this? He said, well, come on and get some nigga lessons. Pretty much, we've been doing this for years. You just figuring this out. So he then kept on going. That was like, oh, niggas didn't know where to laugh. So then he went through this whole thing at the end of the show. And then the major punchline was, well, like I said, come on, get these nigga lessons. Boom, drop the mic. So they already laughed at that and already understand it. So that's how they create that leave on a high note. They already hit that high note. They know that high note is high. So when they want to leave, they bring you back to that high note, anchored you in it, and then drop the mic, walk off. You're laughing at something that he knows already works. So he knows how to create the high note because he already tested it. That's the real science. That's why they do that a lot, comedians. But that's a hell of an anchor. Come and get these nigger lessons. He talked about Donald Trump. He said, why is Donald Trump doing this, that, the other? Because he's a white man. Oh! So if I was telling the story, he heard some critics talking about that, and he directly was talking about I'm bullshit. The only thing that's changed at this day what I need to survive. So I can't even call it what it what well, I call it what it is, but that's that. So know this. Tupac was the personification of contradiction because in the Kali Yuga, he was the manifestation of what the Kali Yuga or what this time is. The self, the innocence versus this imaginary war machine that only turns inward on itself. Because at the end of the day, all that shooting, all that spitting, so he's actually known because he actually took it to some white people. But most of that shit was nigga hate. And why is there so much nigga hate? You think because of white people, maybe, you know what I'm saying? But in the end, it's what we're supposed to go through because we're all abused and creating these shadows. And the shadow of self is really fighting itself, i.e., that's what I'm talking about. Your shadow self is fighting yourself. So yourself is your black brother. Yourself is your black sister. So all this arguing, that bitch ain't shit. Fucking punk ass niggas. You can't even take that shit. I don't even hear that shit. Oh, here these niggas come again. Fucking get your clue, I get my clue. That's self-hate. Oh. Self-hate? The art of war is dealing with your shadows that turn within, turn on you. Because the shadows are fighting you. Your enemy is closer than you think. Your shadows are fighting their shadows. This is the League of Shadows, Batman. You must become a shadow. Batman was dealing with his shadow self. He came through abuse. They beat up, they killed his moms and pops, and then he created a shadow based upon the bat tormenting in his mind. Shadow Batman. So we're dealing with the shadow self, my niggas, and it's quite important that you do so. All right, let me just do some promotion, get this out the way so we can get down to it. We are definitely going to Wizard of Oz our way into this one. All right, let's start here. You are watching, let me find my shit. Boink, boink. There you go. See this right here in the corner? Occult Lectures? This is me. So anything you see on YouTube that says Occult Lectures, it is I. Whoa, 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 what the fuck? Let's get it. Come on, I think I may be having internet issues. Come on, baby. Come on, man. Come on, come on. Let me see. Hold on. Oh, I need this page. All right, well, let me unshare.
Howdy. This is Miles Garrett, LASIK Plus today, and I'm ready to get my procedure done and have a new look online. JT, what's up? As an athlete, I think I hope a lot. I can't say how many times I've been scrambling up before games or practices trying to get contact from my trainers or having a contact.
Unshare. And deal with what's going on. Sometimes I'm in the basement and it just gets slow. Let me see if it's my site. The shit seems to be moving. All right, so let's see. All right, here we go. Slow but no cigar. Let's get it back where you at. Zoom, zoom, zoom. All right, I'm going to come, guys. I'm going to come. All right, let's share this. Doink. And boink. So, all right, guys, here you go. This here is my website. Right at the top, occultlectures.com. Occult Lectures, again, as I was, right there is me. On YouTube, anything on the Occult Lectures, I put up. Occult Lectures with an S. People do cut my shit up and put it up. Whatever, it's fine. I don't really have too many problems with that so far. If I will, you'll be first to know. So here you can get my herb pack.
I'm going to take down some of these other herb packs and just leave it to this and scaling it down and give my book, my next book already done. I'm releasing it spring, I believe, in time for 2012. It's an entire book. I didn't realize written from my dark side, how it got there. I don't remember anything in that book. I do know Courtney was crying. So for classes, you can join here. I don't put up dates anymore. Seats are always open, always available. When it's time, you'll want it if you pay. So, you know what I'm saying? And here's my Patreon from occultlectures.com. You can join the Patreon. The other two lectures that I've done, I'm going to post there. So you'll be able to at least hear them. So don't worry. Be happy. I'm going to still give you all the other ones. This is why I did the third time I'm doing this. Here's our old radio show, though we're not doing them live. They're listening to past shows. So people who didn't get a bunch of that, there was a lot of fun, a lot of cool, a lot of interviews, a lot of shit talking and jokes you wouldn't believe niggas are capable of. Here's the spiritual readings, Khadija's classes. Here's where you can connect to my wife, but not just that, consultations. These are my consultations. Here is how you click to Khadija's site. That's where you will get the joint consultations that Khadija and I are doing, and let me tell you, they're on fire. You need to do that in your life. It's more than just giving the same old spiritual advice. Then do that with your chakras and this. No. We're dealing now, and I see it feels like counseling sessions dealing with that shadow. So you can connect to Khadija's site, Samedi, S-A-M-E-D-I, readings, readings.com. And you can go to Occult Lectures and hit her up. This is her picture. This picture is done by assistant in Kendra. And probably one of the more accurate pictures of Khadija. I was blown away. So her testimony, Akashic Records, we'll go to her site and let in a second. So spiritual baths, meditation CDs, magical oils, and aura shield. I think I'm going to not sell these anymore. Just tired of doing it. They'll be available at live lectures, which when all of this crap is over, that's where we'll be at. It means live lectures coming to your city to give you this shit for real, for real. So thinking, and of course, these two, I'm contemplating when you get them here, all the products. And this is just a shout out to my man, B. Hemet, my man, one of the masters that came back to give you information. All right, so here you go. That's the website. Now let's go check out the DJ. Now you're talking about grown people shit. You know what I'm saying? This is Khadija's website. Let's see what she got going on. Yeah, sometimes it should slow down here. A lot of shit going, already we in a different atmosphere of sexy. Her first page is crazy. This is Akasha at his best. She deals with the Akasha. Look at them record halls. Look at those gold records. This is a fly-ass bitch. I looked at it and seen it, but god damn. And this is also done by Kendra. So if y'all like Kendra's work, y'all need to contact Somdi Readings, Khadija, and I'm sure Khadija will pass on the information. But this is incredible. And Kendra did the artwork. Even this logo is fucking on fire. This is a fire-ass picture. Khadija says she dropped a lot of codes in this. She had contests. If niggas could figure out some of these codes. So y'all need to check this shit out. See, this shit is fly. All right, so on it, she has her about page. These are the type of readings that she offers. So let's just go. Let's see. Get this shit all out the way. So for now, and she always updates, let's see. She has the joint consultations with her and myself. This is where you get those. The gateway reading and the Akashic reading. All right, that's her readings, her classes. chakra magic, Akashic magic, dream magic, seeing. And she's developing more classes, shock and workshops. So magic about medicine, dream dimension classes, and she's actually working on more. So here's her products. I'm not so sure she's keen on it, and she definitely sells these at, ooh, damn, look at this professional ass shit. When the fuck did she do this? What the fuck? This is like kicking my ass. And, yeah, so she sells these. I think she's trying to do these at the live lectures, these chakra baths. I don't know. You can always count on her for knowing. So these are the seals of Sambi. Real tough guy shit. Here's my shit. Here's testimonials. Here's how you contact her. And there's a card. So that's it. That's how you do whatever you got to do to get us. All right, so now, let's see. So Dave Chappelle got on did a live set, and you can hear him clearly talking about reacting, I feel, to some of, and even if he's not reacting to something conscious, his own spirit probably looked at that and said, okay, let me just put some dignity back in there. He did it. All right, we talked about last time Game of Thrones. They were preparing you for this time. Winter is coming, winter is coming, winter is coming. So what do you do after winter? The dead King John from the north is the Osirian, true Osirian master. He had to go to the realm of the dead. And, you know, his sister was Isis. The little one was the dark goddess. The kid was Heru, the blind Heru. So the kid, his legs or his wisdom, he was thrown afterwards, and he couldn't see really with this world. His third eye was up. So he was Heru, and he had to go out to bring the Eye of Horus back to Osiris. It was all about John, or Ion, or Osiris. And winter is coming. They've been hitting me with that psychological reference all on the news. Oh, this winter's going to be hard. This winter, when it comes, oh, we're going to feel it with the cold bit. That's representing those ice dead things. They represent the pestilence of COVID. And after them, John becomes king. This is all about you. King of the North. Who's the king of the North? I told you what happens in the North in the cusp. And what I'm about to show you now is the wonderful Wizard of Oz. Oz is the cusp. We're going to get into this. So Game of Thrones was also another mind control fuck. Like, remember the dude who had the dogs? He killed his father, and his father was treating him like a illegitimate son. He was a bastard, and his father gave him his name. But he went head-to-head with John and lost. He represented sex, or he represents, or could represent Donald Trump. You know what I'm saying? The father was the old regime. The young kid was taking it over, and he killed his father and, you know, his ego. And he got eaten by his own dogs, which represents, I guess you could say, the ego. I mean, if I go through it again, I really can go through it. But the kid was the blind guru. Sentra was playing the mother goddess Isis. Who else made it back? Yeah, she was playing the dark goddess. She was playing Kali, the woman with no face, you know what I'm saying, or trying to be invisible. What they were showing her, the woman with no face, or the faceless woman, they were showing her how to master the shadow, the woman with no face. You must become empty, faceless. Of course, they did the drama with the stabbing and the running and the shooting, but in the end, what she became was she became symbolically the hidden side. She was the dark goddess. She was the hand of Sansa. Sansa wasn't going to stab anybody, but remember, she killed Sansa's greatest betrayer, Lord, whatever the fuck his name was. It was a dramatic moment, but he's the one that was
finagling and fucking with Spencer. I kept meeting Spencer. But what's her name is the one that really did it. But she represented the hand or the dark goddess of Neptune, of Isis, the shadow side. That's why they're telling you about Neptune and Set. It's the shadow, and those shadows belong to humanity. It's your human abuse and problem that created those heads, those thuggies. You understand what I'm saying? Those spooks. So it belongs to that. This is being played out at Winterfell. Winterfell, nigga. They're talking about now. They're talking about what was coming. She represents, well, the dragon lady can also represent Kali or the Kali Yuga. She was rising up in the time, but remember, she wanted to stop her. Hold up, where did you see that before? Oh, yeah. Right here. You see it right here. Here you go, John. And here you go, dragon lady. You know what I'm saying? Mind you, the sun is behind your head. This is the cusp. Oh, cusp. Shit. This is real custody. So, watch Game of Thrones again. Wonder Woman 84. Terrible movie. Here's a guy, I'm sorry, Caged Heat, is on the screen picks. There are a lot of naked bitches. And this is the scene with Pam Grier. Lights a cigarette up and just lays on the bed. She's naked and, you know, she's just relaxing, baby. You know, I will turn the camera, but fuck y'all. You know, just enjoy this moment. Yeah, it must be a little bit cold in there. Oh, yeah, she's lighting another cigarette. That means you got a little time here. Oh, shit. This is terribly great. All right, so Wonder Woman 84, terrible movie. And remember, it was supposed to come out early this year before Donald Trump really lost his fucking mind. So you may have had a harder time connecting the bad guy to Trump. But now that you've seen so much Trumpian ridiculousness, it was clear that this was Trump, and the director said, yeah, I based it on Trump, because he wouldn't have said it because you wouldn't have made the connection still thinking while he was still talking before the pandemic and all that, or early on. Remember, they were trying to tell you, because another thing I remember, that the divine feminine is in effect. They were going to drop. This pandemic fucked them up. Mulan, which they did eventually drop on Disney. They were supposed to drop Wonder Woman, which they eventually dropped on HBO. They were supposed to drop the one girl by Scarlett Johansson plays in the Avengers. She's not Scarlett, whatever that bitch name is. She's supposed to get her movie and Birds of Prey. Harley Quinn was supposed to be able to say they dropped too. And so it was supposed to be the year of the woman. Psychologically, what they were doing was setting up the false praise of the woman. Wonder Woman, strength. Mulan, I'm sure it's some fighting strength that they found. Birds of Prey, she left the Joker and found her own personality, her own strength. And then, of course, this has been showing strength in the Avengers. Now it's time to get there. So they were supposed to drop all of that in the beginning of the year for a reason. This is a mind control outlet. Media is your biggest problem. It's terrible. It was about Donald Trump. It was some other science I had, but it was so terrible. It still was this immoralistic idea, which, when he's saying he's the wish master, that is America. Everyone comes to America with a dream. America's the place for dreams. That's the wish. So they're pretty much saying, why don't you take your wish back? They're pretty much saying, this shit is over. Take your wish back. They were announcing it was over in America. They're announcing America's over. So what she's talking, and this was a big deal. She's making this speech, and She says to Donald Trump in the movie, I wasn't even talking to you. I'm talking directly to the people. What she's saying is, we are no longer trying to correct or work with this mentality. So we're bypassing you and talking directly to the people and being where she made an appeal to their heart, because we're moving into this new era, which when they make the connection psychologically, which they were supposed to, but now because the movie came out so late, they're making the connection actually of Donald Trump. But that subtle thing would have been lost to people maybe earlier in 2020 or whenever this was, they would promote this in 2019 in the late year. So I was coming. So without all the Donald Trump explosion, they wanted to keep it close, but it got too close because it came out later. That's what I believe. Now, so you later was supposed to, you were supposed to see this movie, it was supposed to be a blockbuster, it was supposed to be in your head. When Donald Trump started doing what he's doing now, psychologically, you're already hearing the wonderful message. You don't want what he wants. He's the wish master. He's greed. He's out of control. He brought this world to chaos. You walk and you see chaos on the street, which is representing America on the pandemic. They were showing you what it is. So her direct appeal to the heart was supposed to psychologically say, this is the message of the day. And so once they get Donald Trump out, Biden's going to sweet talk you. We're better people. We're better than that. Let's get Donald Trump. Let's arrest him. No, let's put this behind us. He's no longer an issue. We have to move forward. What they're really doing is trying to connect you to this message. This message. And so that was that. I mean, I could go through it harder, but fucking why? It's not doing nothing but showing you what they're doing. I'm glad I'm about to start writing these one-line notes because I kind of remember everything. And before we get into it, I was doing this throughout the lecture, going back and forth. And I was getting all this shit out of the way, and then I'm going to finish this and obviously real for real today. This day, like I said, I'm not going to show it on the screen. I'm just going to talk about it while I go through it. Most of us seen these images already, so my description of it has to be sufficient, then go watch it yourself. What I do want to talk about is a realization that I had. It's very serious to me. Bobby Henry. Ooh, this was a big deal when it came through. Once you start to deal with the shadow self, which I urge you is your spiritual thing, you're going to have to be honest with yourself. You're going to have to be, you ain't got no courage. And I'm going to explain that concept as I go through. You're going to have to admit that to yourself. I'm scared. Cowardly lion. Right now, you're walking around, put them up. Yeah, I put you in my bag. So, okay, so, damn, well, these KDC really, they having a fucking fight in jail. Boy, oh boy, nipples and grease is everywhere. Yeah. Ooh. That's right, Tasha. Fuck her up. They got some inmate dresses on. Oh, shit. I'm going to turn the goddamn CNN or something. I'm distracted. Bobby Hemmett. I didn't get it until I dealt with the shadow. Let me explain something to you, and I'm being real. Brother Panic isn't here no more, guys. Sorry. He's gone. And I know you can't understand that, but I'm going to try to explain it. I mean, I guess you understand the theory, because everyone's deep. But there's those who don't. If you can admit to yourself you don't, then listen. And then it made me realize what Bobby was going through and what he was telling me. He did give me a message, and he did leave. Boom. When I dealt with the shadow, I told you, I'm sitting here, me and my sister got into it, sitting with my mother. And my mother said she passed has been coming through with fucking gems. It's almost like she wrote it and she sticks with it. And but I know what you expect and how to look for that. So that's what makes it work. So I knew something was happening. My mother and my sister was gonna launch. She knew that she gave me the business. Nigga, you this, nigga, you that, nigga, you always doing this, nigga, 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 nigga. And I'm arguing back, bitch, please, bitch, let me explain something about you. Yeah, nigga, 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 but. So, for some reason, it was sticking. Not really hurting, as, but I guess maybe. Because it's sticking for a reason. And then 2 days later, me and Dee got into it. And pretty much, long story short, I noticed it's the same argument, the same beef. What we did was different, which became a sword. The sword that chopped up the head was, she said, let's get a third party. And she was talking about whatever friend we could pick up and just run both our stories so we can hear it. Therapy, really. I said, fuck that. Let's go get Torrin, our son, right now. I don't want to do it. I said, no, no, no. No one's going to be mad. Say which one's going to be honest. Long story short, he was cutting off my head. Well, it seems like she's your enemy. Really? So what he's saying is things that I went through with my mother that makes you distrust women, that even though you got to a point where you have a woman, there's still layers that you do not see. It operates in shadow, in shadow, black man. And when it does that, you can't see it. So I was clearly seeing myself, so much so, oh, who is that guy? Oh, damn, now it's starting to become clear. That's why my friend in 1984, my friend this and that, I remember talking to my boy Prince, and I know he went through it, you know, whatever you go through. He was like, I was like, yo, man, how do you put up with me? Da, 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 this and that, you know. And I went through, you know, my mom, she was sick. She was like this, and we were going through that. He didn't know that, you know, he was next to me every day. Because you don't, you hide shit like that. That's a part of being a cowardly lion. Oh, we're going to get it. And pretty much he said, well, kind of like I understood you. That's why. So even the fuck you gotta say that shit says if you got something that needs to be understood, there's something there. There is there, there. So I was able to see what was there. I was able to see my whole self. That's a breakthrough. All right. Then okay. So it a lot started being revealed. I'm starting to see what the shadow self is, what the true evil twin is, what the doppelganger is, what is the hidden self, the spook, the thuggy, that goddamn Sopranos in the entire show about the shadow self, starting with Tony, but then they show the shadows that were created in his kids, the shadows that were created in his abused wife. All of the supporting cast, his friends, are actually angry, formerly abused, based upon their criminal life, shadows of anger, of tough guy, all created. And he was displaying this, and you could tell he talked to a whole bunch of psychiatrists to make this show. Excellent show. And if you're still that angry person, you'll cheer for Tony. After I was shown myself and was able to see myself, Tony's probably the most disgusting, sick, helpless coward ever on TV. And here's the funny shit. James Gandolfini, who played the role, would say shit like that, and he couldn't figure it out. So when he would be in an interview, Tony has grown you so much, and how do you feel about Tony? He's a hurting guy. He's a disgusting guy. Look what he's doing to his family. You're like, man, why are you telling him not to tell him? See, because your anger, Tony represented from a perspective the justification of your anger that they kept showing Tony justifying his anger, beating somebody up and paying their hospital bills. I'm hiding behind, I'm the boss, and any shit you could do. That's what you want. To be able to walk in and then your job. Shut the fuck up. I'm the boss. Boom. You get what I'm saying? So Tony represented that. So you loved him for that because you still are angry. When you are dealing with the anger in the shadow, you are able to see what it is and what the shadow is and see how Tony's control, the entire world is actually controlling Tony. Tony's not a big boss. He's a big reactionary punk. The big boss or the cowardly lion finally stepping up with courage is to admit you have been hurt. You have been scarred. You have been abused. And you're hiding like a little kid inside a tin chest. Tin man. First, let's get this out. There's so many symbols in the Wizard of Oz. You can damn near apply it to anything. Just like there's so many symbols in the Bible, you can apply it to anything. So in 1960-something, some teacher applied it to an economic system, and they think that was the real code. Physical-ass deep niggas. Can it be applied? Absolutely. Is something wrong with that? No. Is that wrong? No. But let's go a little bit deeper in the mythology that you know, the spirituality that you know. Economics is not deeper. American economics, it could have been even, well, first of all, let's get to this nigga. Hold on. Let's start here. Oh, before we start here, let's finish up with Bobby. I don't want to forget that because I know y'all niggas is mouth-watering. So able to see the shadow self, what I also noticed was Brother Panic was necessary to get the message out. But we are at the end of that time. So I don't want to say a new entity, but a new aspect of Brother Panic. Pan-rich, nigga. By the way, this is protected. The music you hear in the beginning is, or the beginning of these videos, just so I can shout myself out, are definitely remixes that I do. But they're for fun. They're not for sale. You don't need to buy them. I don't know what that means. I found that one of the things I'm here to do is just to create. So I am absolutely content sitting in this room making some bippity bop shit. If somebody offers some money, sure, who's stupid? But pursuing it, not going to do it. So all I can do is be braggadocious, put it on the beginning of the video, and hope you enjoy. That ditty that you heard was by my best buddy, B.O.B. And he actually had a contest for that song. It's a trap song. I said, watch, and I can't be in a contest, but I said, well, give me a copy of that acapella. All I want is props. All right, watch. So instead of doing some old slow trap shit, I just put it on the boom bap pace so you can hear how fast it is, and it's fucking sicker. He said, the shit you did with that, he said, niggas wouldn't even understand. I said, I know. So y'all heard it for yourself. So that's an introduction to that, and that's out the way. So understanding the shadow self and seeing how Brother Panic, then thinking, oh, shit, and I think I told y'all this. We used to work for a skating rink. It's the 80s. When we handed out flyers, usually there's flyers left. So I pile them up in the house, and then there's just a stack of them. So what we started doing was drawing on the back of them, just whatever graffiti. And I was drawing Panic. It's me and Dane. So for years, well, a couple of years at least of this, we would just get hot. It's going to draw. So at the kitchen table, panic. But when I was drawing this panic, these words, I was thinking of a guy, a character. I was thinking of who he was. Long story short, I was creating a double. I was creating Mastermind, which is Sam Jackson's character that brought you all the other characters. Which I do that. And Brother Panic was the mastermind. It wasn't activated.
But know who Panic was? Oh, he was chilling. He had his own house. He had a shitload of sneakers. He had a girl. Giving no problems and it's fine. He didn't work for anybody. He did what he wanted to do. Yeah. And all the other things a nigga would possibly want is here. I have it all. But then as I think back, I was designing that in the ghetto. We do it all the time. Every nigga in the hood has nicknames. That's your mastermind. That's your shadow. Larry. Hi, Mom. It's me, Larry. Outside with a nigga. My name Panic. What's up, nigga? That's a shadow. That's two niggas. Dear Mama. When I get outside, nigga, holler at you him, boy. I ain't telling my mom like that. Yo, Mom, holler at you him. You making pancakes? It's a front. Slick Rick said it best. Everyone in hip-hop is front. Hip-hop is a big front. Nigga, I kill you. You old-ass, lobby-gotty-ass nigga. How dare you say some blasphemous shit like that? Explain yourself, Slick Rick. He said, yo, because the way you talk on records and in the street, you don't talk to your moms like that. That's the foundation for a double personality. Right there. You're not talking about good or bad, evil or not. You have a double personality. Hi, Mommy. I'm home. You don't go to your friend in the street. Hey, Dane. I'm home. Yo, what up, nigga? Yeah, I'm back. Hey, nigga. Hey, nigga. You ain't, or imagine telling your mom, hey, nigga, what's up, nigga? I'm home, fool-ass nigga. Throw some eggs on, nigga. Kill your ass. So you are fronting. Each time, yeah, you know what I'm saying, Penny? You know what I'm saying? I'm a real nigga, you know what I'm saying? I just studying this shit. You know what I'm saying? I ain't trying to rise a dick or nothing like that, Pan. You know what I'm saying? I ain't really that type of nigga in my heart, but you know what I'm saying? I feel compelled. Like I have to say something to you, you know what I'm saying? If I see you, you know, you feel me on that black? Yeah, nah, I ain't nothing, nigga. I ain't gonna take it. You know, then I'm really appeasing that cowardly lion in them. Yeah, nigga, nah, I ain't gonna take it like that, son. I get it. You know what I'm saying? This shit is spiritual. You know, you just doing what you feel and da 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 da. You know what I'm saying? So I really just appeased one of his thugs. One of the thugs that he created that doesn't want to ride dicks. He's speaking. He's making sure the coast is clear. No panic, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? I don't really come up to niggas. You know, I ain't the really type of nigga I am. You know what I'm saying? Yes, you are. You're, in your mind, at least, you're doing it right now. The type of nigga you are, which you're not addressing, is the nigga who's scared of being perceived as a dick rider. That's the type of nigga you are. And that's what you're not admitting yourself. Once you admit and concede that, then you're dealing with the truth in you. You're saying all of this because you're protecting yourself from the idea of someone thinking you're riding dick. You know what I'm saying, Panic? You know what I'm saying? I feel like a lot of niggas coming to ride your dick, and I don't, you know what I'm saying? I ain't that type of nigga. You know what I'm saying? But you know what I'm saying? I got to say something. Now, I'm not taking it that way, and I never did, because I'm not weak. Where I created something in my ego that says I need niggas to tell me I'm more special than anybody else. See, if I was doing that, I'd be debating with these niggas. And if I decided to debate, I would embarrass a lot of niggas with the shit they even proposed it. But no. Because that's what this is not all about. And I would do you one better. I never was about that. And I'll do you one even better. Bobby Hemmick looked me in the eyes before any of this shit and said, never argue this. You argue it, it's going to be the beginning of the end. It take a while, but it's over. And look around you, folks. How does the climate look now after all of this shit has landed? This debate shit. You got it. I don't even need to say no more about that. You know what it is. Shit failed. Miserably. And Bobby Hemmick told me about that way ahead of time. So you got to come to terms with yourself. It ain't about me and if you was riding my dick. Why the fuck would you bring that up? That's what you have to question yourself, and that is hard. See, learning about your chakras ain't hard. You're just too dumb to really feel what's in you and let yourself guide you to this information that's really you. You're trying to learn it how you did in public school, not learn it from different areas in yourself. That's a whole other thing. But let's even say you got there, then you have to turn this inwardly. And inwardly, under the type of nigga that rides your dick, that's kind of saying you are. And you created a defense mechanism in case you do it again. In this moment, I was about to say stupid, but I don't want to say stupid because you're not stupid for this. To be quite honest, this is the work. You know what I'm saying? You're really not stupid. You're only the same thing as everything. The difference is when you decide to be honest with yourself and say, yo, I'm scared of being perceived of being on his dick because back in the days, I was really wearing somebody else's T-shirt and realized, wait a minute, am I flunking? I'm wearing Busta Rhymes shit. But then you may, or whatever it was, and you may have grown up and grown out of it, but something in you never came to terms with that. So now, even though I've inspired you or inspired something in you, and you had the opportunity to meet me, it's a whole speech of how you're not on my dick when I didn't even imply it. I'm not even thinking like that. I don't even care about that. Or if you're not saying the speech, you're trying to show me that you're not on my dick. It's pathetic. And you got to come to terms with, well, maybe there's some there with why you feel that way. And you got to be honest. Well, why do I feel that way? Then you may realize, oh, damn, well, KG is serious. You may realize that there's something in your past that's unresolved that created a shadow, a thug, fence mechanism that's always on the lookout for shit that may not even be there. And how many times and how much you do it comes out in your fucking anger and dysfunction and your and when the more people feel they have to watch what they say around you is because there are more shadows around you. If you feel like I can't say that, can't gauge that, can't talk to my lady about that, that's because this beast keeps coming out to fight that because you're touching on something. And those things are what you need, what winds you up, what makes you do that. Question that. Turn it inwardly. It's hard, but it's what you got to do. It's what you got to do. So the main thing I noticed, I started to feel and see panic. I'm even referring to myself in the third person. Come on, panic, get that shit together. Like, it's a different person. And then you hear, well, you're just a vessel. You're just a vehicle. You are just an avatar. What if you have a consciousness that's multi-layered? And all I did as Larry was just call on that aspect of my consciousness called panic. It's right out of my mind. Or created an avatar called panic to work here. And he did his work. And even as I was panicked for years, and niggas to panic, Larry panicked, when I met Shabazz, something just said, don't say nothing about Larry. Panic. Shabazz was the first brother panic. Don't call me that. He started writing panic on the tape, but Bobby went crazy. Brother panic, brother panic. And that's all she wrote. So it's a character. Even, I mean, let's not kid ourselves. All the, you know, the asshole entity, anger, y'all never really seen that in me. Y'all just seen a performance on tape. And silly niggas still think that's the real whoever. Whenever there's a camera rolling, it's all an act. The same way, hi, mom, camera start rolling here, you know what I'm saying? We hear that, blah, blah, blah. We were told in our early tapes, I can't play this. I can't set this out. I can't put this around. Why not? They laughing too much. They seem too happy. That's what niggas told Shabazz about us. They're too happy. So they wanted us to be on tape. The black man, we are in a predicament, nigga. We was like, yo, this ain't no fucking predicament. So all of this is the mad. The mad I'm talking about is you always have the right to be mad and angry. But I started out with so much abuse and so much anger and so much shadow that had to be created for protection that the standard mode of operation is anger in any interaction. It's not necessarily always expressed with them, but in your head, fuck this son of a bitch. I hate you. You know, that becomes an excuse. That's niggas running away. No, let's get into this shit before we get into that. So I went through all of that to show you I've really experienced panic is gone. Panrific is here. You know, it's still panic. It's still brother panic, but there's a big shift. My spirit has shifted within this yoga, and I'm telling y'all how to do it. You've got to confront the dark side. That's what that means. If you ain't doing that, you ain't die, nigga, die. And I can see now I'm gone. Then it started to remind me of something. First and foremost, when me and Bobby were talking, about 2 years he hadn't did a lecture before he was sick. He said he felt, he said everything he wanted to say. And his words were, how many times do you talk about my eye? I said, nah, but niggas. He said, no, I felt this. He was like, I pretty much feel it. This is 2 years before any sickness. So, of course, you know the story. He got sick, had a stroke. Y'all human niggas think it's because of diet. And, you know, he was always eating something greasy. That ain't it. I didn't realize what he was doing. He was bringing himself all the way as far as he could to the edge of death to come back with an answer. And he did. I thought it was some stroke shit. But I didn't hear it. Now, here's a fact. All the what and the when and the where and the who, we got that under control. You can study your way into that reality or that clue that leads you to your conclusion of what your reality is. But truthfully, there's no clear answer on why. It comes down to two concepts. Why is all of this happening? Well, something bad trapped you, put you here, you did something bad, it's punishment, this is the prison, this is a trick, they got your mind, blah, blah, blah. Bad guy, you're here. Or the other side is you came, this is learning, this is the college, this is something you asked to do, you willed it, blah, blah, blah. So it comes down to the why, a whole category of you came here, then you say 10 things under that, we were put here, 10 things under that. So you can't, you could get, if you think we're here by design, then there's plenty of things you can study that reinforce that. If you think like not, like for instance, Gnosticism, that we're here by an evil demiurge or Satan fall or whatever you want to call it, then there's a lot to support that. I didn't realize Bobby came back with a why this is happening. But it was a stroke talking. So after he's back and me and him start talking again, ooh, man, I thought it was curtains, nigga. I thought you was going. Yeah, I thought I was going to, you know. Yeah, then he started saying, yeah, man, you know, Bobby Hemmett is gone. He said, Bobby Hemmett, the lecturer. That's what he was saying. Bobby Hemmett, the lecturer, is gone, panic. He's gone. I didn't realize he was telling me goodbye. I didn't realize it. Yeah? Because these people you would call, yo, hey, B, what's up, man? I ain't here for 3 days. Yeah, well, I went to another dimension. Now, you know he damn sure ain't moving the planet, but his head was somewhere else, is what he's saying. So we talked like that. You didn't really take that so dramatically. So when he's saying this, I'm not taking it dramatically. I'm thinking he's trying to explain his stroke. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Bobby Hemmett's gone. He ain't here no more. The lecturer, he elevated. He went back. What do you mean?
And we've talked plenty of times about the body being an avatar, sheep being an LK. I'm not making this two and two together. So we're talking at this point five times, let's say, on the phone. And that's all we kept really talking about was something else. He kept saying, man, I love you, man. Yeah, I love you. And anybody on the phone, I love you. I would call, he'd be on the other line, you know, the other phone. So I could hear him talking to Azariah, to Aleem, all the people through the years that are concerned, know, and were touched. We're calling them, of course. I love you. I love you. I love you. Okay. So he didn't even tell me stuff, but then, you know, eventually we went over there, and what was weird was he said he wanted to speak. I said, well, we can do it right now. I got my computer. Let's go get it. I can record you. Okay. We recorded the half an hour. It's on this channel right over there called Legends, and he said a bunch of I love you on the tape, but after the tape was over, he looked at Linda and said, wow, I'm surprised I could do that. He's like, I didn't know I still could talk. And I'm like, yeah, even if you left, like me, I still lecture for hours. It's not like that left, but the emotional idea behind Brother Panic has elevated, or the shadows that I had to be with Brother Panic ain't there. I have no more argument for niggas. It's not like about being pushed around, taking advantage of, and now you can say, fuck you, motherfucker. And I go, peace be with you. So fuck you, motherfucker. Before, it's like, well, fuck you, too. Now it's like, fuck you, motherfucker. I hear you, dude. You know what I'm saying? Fuck me. You're right. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. And it's not like I want to be their friend and want to give them a hug and show them I'm better. I don't give a fuck about them, too. It's not about people. It's not about cultivating a personal relationship. But it's also not about getting entangled with these motherfuckers. Even if I'm right or could say fuck you back better than them. Even if I can knock their jaw on the backside of their head, why? What am I proving? That shit you prove to your hidden self. You need to give it confirmation that it's a protector. So that's why you're out in the street with tough guy shit. You may be more confident that you could be one of them. You think you're doing the right thing. You may be less confident when you're fighting. But either way, you're trying to create protection, and you have to express it some sort of way, meaning you got to show your heart courage. What's the dusty dusk of the musky musk courage? I'm going to go through this with it faster. I'm going to put up the other ones where you can hit 7 and 8. I'll break them. I'm going to give you everything when you go through this. So Bobby kept saying, Panic, it's all about love. It's all about love. Okay, nigga, I got you. Now, that sounds generic, and it sounds, okay, you know, I get it. It's all about love, baby. You're numb to that. How many times you heard a song? All we need is love. All we need is love. You heard so much shit like that. Love, love, love. Genius of love. Everything, the entire R&B is about love. So when he says it's all about love, yeah, ain't nothing deep about that. Everyone says that. But I didn't get it. He was telling me the why. And so I elevated and recognized what he was talking about when he said, Bobby Hemmett, the lecturer, has left. I get what he means, because Panic has left. The good news is I still can lecture. At least I think so. Y'all might be going, what the fuck happened to him? I don't know. But the point I'm getting at is I know what he means. I started to know what he meant when he kept saying Bobby Hemmett, the lecturer, has left. So maybe two or three times after that, maybe a couple of more meetings,
It's about love. It's about love. It's about love. Then I was on the phone, and we were talking about gotcha. He was 100% with me. Yeah, they started debating, nigga, when you were sleeping, and nigga, 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 nigga. He's like, what? Stupid ass this. That nigga did what? Yeah, Ray Charles died. Ray Charles is dead, nigga? Yeah, while you were sleeping. And, or whatever, you know, whoever it was who died. And anyway, that's probably, then I said to him, yeah, well, I was studying, I don't know, let's make something up. I was studying Kali and the Kali Yuga and those heads. What do those heads really mean? I don't know. What? If he didn't know, we had so many, we had thousands of hours of phone conversation. I don't know, but I was reading this book, and then I felt in just that one sentence, it was over. But I'm thinking logically, this is stroke shit. No matter how much he showed me, and he did, that he was absolutely confident. We went out to dinner one time, he said, your name was here, 1973. All right, and then he just told me all the events in 1980. Nixon got a dog named Noodles. That was in, women's suffrage came back up. They re-voted on this. And I'm like, what in the fuck? Because he always had a photographic memory. He always had a memory that was fucking incredible. And you only seen 1 or 3% of that shit in a lecture. Knowing him, oh, you knew you were seeing a phenomenon. Talking to a phenomenon. I'm telling you. Big deal. So when he said, I don't know, he was stating to me that this ain't happening no more. In hindsight, those conversations, he really was saying goodbye to me. Bobby Hemmick was gone. Bobby Hemmick, the lecturer, was gone. His body's here, just like mine. Because your niggas are too stupid when I was saying it before. Is he gone? Is he dead? His message is what's forever. Listen to it. That's what he wants. I know that much. He never wanted people to follow him. He wanted that message to ring true. You want to do honors to Bobby? Also this. You want to send donations? So you know clearly, I haven't spoke to him. I don't know what's going on since then. I can't help you. I don't know what he's doing about donations, but I know no one turns down free money. So because he didn't give me the okay to say, here's his address, send it this way, go look at his tapes. On his tapes, he gives out his address plenty of times. His address from one of his tapes, which if you're compelled to donate, then you should be just as enthusiastic to listen to his message. And when you hear his address, which he still lives at, last I heard, mail it there. And I'm sure they'll forward it or they'll come back if there's an issue. Mail it to him. I have nothing to do with it no more. He said goodbye to this, to me. He's elevated. He did his work. For 2 years, he was talking about I'm done before he was sick. He got sick to get an answer. That wasn't no he ate too much goddamn, you know, fucking fried green tomatoes. That shit was about him taking himself to that level to come back with a message. And he did. I didn't get it till now because I had to elevate into the shadow to see what he was talking about. And I think he was leaving that message for this time. And why are we here? I'm going with what he said. It is truly about love. There's no evil demiurge. I think I'm going to have to say that. There's no evil demiurge. The demiurge can be your own self. It's the enemy that you create within. That's what that shit is symbolic of. It is your the true evil is your human urge. But that's what you came here. That's the mystery. That's what you came here to deal with. Your humanity is the true evil. So each time one of these dumb motherfuckers sit around, act like they're leading you to get you interested in a fucking economy, what the fuck Trump is doing next, how much they hate Obama, you can look at that, but that's all human shit. kick and hoop. None of that Cam Mites are talking about. None of that shit. They don't give a fuck about it. They were telling you the true enemy of the self. Gnosticism is showing you the enemy within and giving a detailed description of that enemy urge, your urge to hold on to humanity, to create the shadows to protect yourself, the fucking ego. Dorothy is about freeing these things and telling you what your true work is on this planet. That Dorothy story is straight out the pyramid text, and it is the true key. We're going to see. So Bobby Hemmings' message, when he went on the brink of death, that stroke, when he came out of it, because the more he became aware, the less he started seeing it. It was almost like he was waking up and forgetting. But he would not stop. It was like he found it. He found it. Because it was a stroke and the shock of him coming back, I didn't see it. But he was talking like he found the answer. And it's about love. It's all about love. That's what he kept saying. Vertical panic, you know, you ever see that? And God had a mind. Yes, yes, panic is about love. This you got is love. I love you, panic. Tell everyone you love them. Everyone you love them. Okay, I'm going to start telling Khadija I love you. And I didn't get he was trying to tell me. He found out a big mystery. And he was telling me because he knew one day, like right now, it would be time to tell you. There is no evil but that which you create in your own head. And that's what you're doing in consciousness. You're getting past all the demiurge. You're getting past all the chemtrails. You're getting past the white man is from the cave and doing this shit. You're leaving it behind. That's what you're doing. You're walking that yellow brick road and you're getting the fuck out. All right. Now let's get to some of this shit. First and foremost, oh no, let's go to the shit again. All right, Khadija Somdi reading .com. Let's look up this. There's a movie, 2016. It is now on Netflix. B.O.B. Called me and said, nigga, watch this. When I watched, I'm like, how in the fuck did you find this goddamn movie? Oh, I didn't even look at this. See the upside down clock here? Let's see if I can get a bigger picture of this. Yeah, there we go. He said, yeah, here we go. This is the dude that was the ugly fucker that was in the movie Queen. But look at the clock. It's upside down. Wow. And remember, this world is considered the world of the upside down. This is really some bottleneck shit. And you understand what that means. Set has turned this world upside down in the illusion. So when I look at this picture, the picture hits my eyes, and in my brain, it is turned upside down so I can view it. You're in the illusionary world. So they tell you when you die, you're turning back over on yourself as the dead king. You know, and he went through it. In this movie, you see him go through the cusp, wash up on the beach. He, in the beginning, he has his happy family, tragedy hits. At their funeral, he's yelling, I don't believe it. It's not true. What he's saying is, I'm in the illusion. This is not happening. It's not real. So he's fixing, he has to fix, long story short, you see him go through through the cusp, this symbolic. He, at one point, was laying in the boat under the sun with his arms crossed like Osiris. I'm like, no, he's a dead king. The end result was, here's what's interesting, and here's where they're making a statement, I believe, at times. His end result was, when he walked up on the beach, which was symbolic of him going through his journey in the cusp, his family was there. He was home, like Dorothy. What they're trying to say, let's say Khadija, all of them, when I truly go home, the family, that's my family, they will be there on that other side waiting. That's why they're here. I'm not even going to get that deep in terms of saying, Now, you're dreaming all of this. You're the dreamer. So my soulmate is truly Khadijah, but she may be someone else having another dream. She's my, this is my matrix. We're just sharing in the dream, if you will. Y'all got to get this. But we're in a place where you dive, try, because this is what this game is, this simulation is. This is what you got to figure out. And the fucking instructions on how to get out is in the Wizard of Oz. That was some clever shit. And but if you don't know what it is, it's very entertaining. But it's psychologically clever. And I'm going to go through it frame by frame. One day, I'm going to figure out a way for you to get the visuals, because now I'm going to have to describe it. But again, you've seen that movie so much, I'm going to describe the part so well, when you go back, you'll see and look for yourself. So, only wish I could do that. I'm going to try to get some pictures and see if they're conducive to the point. We'll see. So, where are we at? So, that showed me what he started out in a happy home on earth. His heaven was his family again. So that says a lot. No place like home, no place like home. So watch this. It's the same framework. I'm also going to do Avatar with a whole different. I did a breakdown years ago. I'm going to give you a masterpiece. The spirit told me to watch that in Avatar. Oh, it's going to fuck you up. Buster's Now Heart. It's free on Netflix. It's about a journey through the cusp. What's his name? Hold on. What the fuck is that nigga's name? L. Frank. L. Frank. Bonham. All right, this is the creator. This guy, let me see if I can find that image. Where this is the creator or the writer of The Wizard of Oz. He had a picture with his wife. Let me see if I can find that. If I can't, then now I'll tell you about it. You can see it online somewhere. Let me do this. All right, well, that's some of his pictures. This is the white man that created. Let's talk about him in a second. See if he can get black. No, there was a picture I've seen of him and his wife standing in front of the Egyptian temple. Okay, it was just in a YouTube video when they were describing. So look up him on YouTube. You might come across that. Oh, fuck that the fuck. Da-da-da-da. Here you go, nigga. Let's do it. So this is Frank and Maud Baum in Egypt, 1906. Glad we found it. Don't you love it when the plane comes together? This tells you this man understood Egyptian shit. That's number one. We now can connect him to knowing Egypt. But it ain't just that. And we didn't know that. And I'm going to see if we can get, if it says any of this on his Wikipedia, which was told in on YouTube, if you don't find it here, that he was a member of the Thule Society. That's Madame Blavatsky, I believe. If not, somebody. I guess that's Blavatsky, the Thule. He was conscious. He was aware. He was. His wife, Maud, her mother, was a part of the suffrage movement. So they were considered feminists of their time. And he was considered himself pro-woman, figured something out. And I'm going to tell you, he was into, let me see if they have anything on his thing. He was heavily into goddess worship. they said, goddess worship. And, yeah, I'm trying to look life, and let's see. Okay, his beliefs, they're under here, too. I'm going to see if they got any of this. Then we put out an amusement park because we love the theater. No, this is his life. The theater and music, let's see. All right, they've been doing this as a play as something forever. This story is so timeless and touches people's psyche, and they don't know why. Now I'm going to tell you why. All right, so let's see. Life. Okay, they have none of his occult background here. Beliefs, literacy, political, woman's suffrage. Ah, here we go. That's this one. He was a woman's suffrage advocate. So Sally Roche Wagner of the Matilda, I think this should be bigger, yes, Matilda Jocelyn Gaines Foundation is pumping a pamphlet entitled The Wonderful Mother of Oz, describing how Matilda Gaines' family politics were sympathetic, channeled by Bonham into his Oz books. So she's saying the goddess worship or the feminist movement is channeled into his Oz books. He made 18 books, or the 14 pieces of Osiris. Mostly, you get The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, the first one was the one, and everything else is kind of supporting that. So the one he put all of that science in was that story. All right, so his contact with suffragists of his day seemed to have inspired much of the second Oz story, The Marvelous Land of Oz, the girls in the army, blah, blah, blah. But all right, so you see they're connecting him and his radical views surrounding the 890 Ghost Dance Movement and Wounded Knee Massacre. Bonham wrote two editorials about Native Americans for the Aberdeen Saturday Pioneer, which have provoked controversy in recent times because of assertions of safety rights that are dependent on the wholesale genocide of American Indians. What? The Wizard of Oz creator standing up for Native Americans? What do you mean? Sociologist Robert Norwood agreed that Bonham was not using sarcasm in his editorial in the first place, but the 1895 days. This is 1890. You know what I'm saying? Niggas weren't even doing shit but sweeping at this time. You know, at this time, you know, you already did what you did. Killing the Lamb by Holy Man, to the Bull, Peace of Mind, to the Book of Death, blah, blah, blah. So you see, he was doing something. Here's some whole political imagery and it was odd. Right, so here's where perhaps they talk about the political aspect of it. But as above, so below, you're going to be able to find that because this is how we order things. That's why the story is so timeless, because it speaks to something we can't verbalize. When you see what it is, see, I can see it now. Oh, man, I'm telling y'all, y'all got to deal with the shadow. So I'm telling y'all the key. It will free y'all niggas. I'm telling you. If you start saying sorry to niggas, call your sister, your brother, your mom, I'm sorry. Even though you made you feel you ain't do shit, what B.O.B. started telling me was, wow, so much shit is being revealed to me. So I call this person, I don't even feel sorry. But I see them now. I see me. It's like almost like giving them a key. See, when you say sorry, when you admit you're wrong, all of those shadows that were there to protect the person lay their swords down. And you crack the tin back. You're in the heart. So even if you didn't do anything, just saying, you know, with sincerity, you got to really feel it and be sincere. You can't just say it like a trick. Yo, I'm sorry, you know what I'm saying? If I ever offended you, just like, you ain't know, you never say no. You don't say nothing. I hear niggas say no with anger. They'll say it. Then you'll get an explanation if it's that person or whatever. You'll hear the real story, the real reason that hurts, the real reason their argument.
you with their shadows, but you don't know the real motivation. See, the real motivation is you got caught being on someone's dick before. So now you want to explain to me before it's even said that you're not on my dick. You get what I'm saying? But the real reason is because you probably were embarrassed with it from before. So if I came to this guy and said, sorry, there was no reason for it, but let's pretend, what I'm doing is bypassing that guy who says he's on my dick. In fact, that's the easiest way to do that. Because if I'm saying sorry to you, and then again, there's no reason for me to say sorry to him, but let's pretend. If I'm saying sorry to you, then there's no reason for you to ask or exclaim that you're not on my dick. I said sorry to you. So that means I bypass that shadow and you can get to the heart. You know what I'm saying? Then you probably hear, yeah, you know, you're just saying the real shit out here. You start hearing, you know, everybody's trying to take advantage of you because that's what he's worried about, being on my dick and someone taking advantage of him. So that's when he'll start telling me his real worry. You know, it's good to see somebody honest like you, brother. You know, so many people out here taking advantage of you, you know, taking you for granted. You know what I'm saying? That's the real problem, but you'll hear that once you move past his guards, his thuggies, his spooks. I do believe in spooks. I do. I do believe in spooks. I do. You'll get past that by the humility, and you'll hear the true story. You'll see behind the veil. See, once you do all of this work, the curtain comes back, nigga. I'm telling you, I can see everything. I can see Tupac was the actual message of what's happening in the Kali Yuga. The contradiction, the dark side and the light side of you in conflict. Your shadow, everyone calls the asshole, versus how sweet and helpful you think you are versus what your brother really telling you that you are. Some of it may be his imagination, but his imagination ran wild for a reason. So this guy's imagination may run wild that each time he gives a compliment, he's in danger of dick riding. And that may be his problem. But when you wipe that all away and get past it, you'll see that he's just a coward. Because, and you don't want to say coward. He was scared. They're representative of the cowardly lion. But as if you're all here as kids. And you start seeing things you don't understand as trauma. It's too devastating. Your parents arguing. You start creating shadows. Ugh, that's the purpose of this place. You will never get past that, even in the golden age. How it's dealt with is going to be different, but this is the place of that. This is what you're supposed to get over, but the code was broken by the Kanmites. That code is now being revealed now, starting with us understanding bringing the Judy K. King. Now, I'm hearing other people had this. So what? Good. You're supposed to. You know, one is that. This ain't about likes, nigga. And at the end of the day, I could have told everyone about whatever, and they still would like me more than you if we're doing this for likes. You're not that light. So maybe you should calm down and just do what your spirit tells you to do and get off everyone else's dick. It's not about that. It looks terrible. It looks terrible for you. It really does, because we just came out of a cycle of Jerry Springer, and you're still waving that flag. Maybe you don't get the message. It's over. It's all over. All of you niggas trying to argue, trying to fight, that day is over, and that really never took hold. But it revealed a lot of sickness. But here's the real deal. Study to see that. And whoever had the consistent spiritual message and stayed to their integrity seems to be winning now. Integrity does matter in this.
So the more you argue about how cool the fuck you were, how badass you were in comparison to something else, the more you show what a foolish mule you truly are. That's what's happening now. Don't blame me. Kali Yuga, nigga. You got to be honest with yourself and reflect that honesty. People see you. They see the hustle. And they'll play with you with the hustle, but they're not that stupid. Your spirit, you're playing with their humanity. They want some spirit shit. You know what I'm saying? They ain't looking for that. I'm telling you that. All right, well, among us, we didn't just read these books. 1900, this nigga wrote The Wonderful Wizard of Oz. Wow. The Marvelous Land of Oz. Queen Visitors from the Marvelous Land of Oz. Woggle Bug Book. Ozma of Oz. Dorothy and the Wit and the Wizard in Oz. The Road to Oz. The Emerald City of Oz. The Patchwork Girl of Oz. Little Wizard Stories of Oz. Tick Tock of Oz. Tick Tock. That's the little mechanical thing. I'm going to have to get into it. I got to watch Return to Oz, too. That's on Disney. Return to Oz. It was the second one. It was a little more harder. But it had Pumpkinhead, the mechanical nigga, and the chickens. Lost Prince, the Scarecrow of Oz, Rinky Tink in Oz. I think that's the mechanical guy. The Tin Woodsman of Oz, The Magic of Oz, Glinda of Oz. The two last ones was posted after his death or some shit. The Royal Book of Oz. Oh, but it was the entire work of Ruth Plumly Thompson. All right, so that's the name of his books if y'all want to read more of it. But The Wonderful Wizard of Oz is what we're doing here. Pop culture and legacy. Let's see. Chicago Library. In TV Terminus, Shadow Congress, I don't know. In the school named John Bynum. They always referencing Oz because they're referencing the same story. I can show you where that story is in everybody. Damn, every goddamn movie. Because it is the message in the Pyramid Text. It's the same Jim King message. All right. So that's Frank L. Barnum, this bitch-ass nigga. All right, where are we at? Are we ready to go? Let me see. Okay, yes, we are. But first, I'm going to start with a bang, bang, boogie, say, up jump the boogie. This guy. This is a DVD called... Acre. Let's go up. Acre deity. Acre was first depicted as the torso of a recumbent lion with a widely open mouth. Later, he was depicted as two recumbent lion torsos merged with each other and still looking away from each other. So that's this. All right? Y'all get that? See this? Also note this image. The circle here and these two tails looking at each other. Kind of looks like... Let's see if I have one up. No problem. Let's go here and... Let's look at these. Our good friend, the producers. Let's take one. All right, let's take this guy. All right, here we have the producers. You see these two points meeting? Kind of reminds you of this guy's tail meeting. And above this guy's tail, there's a circle or a sun or a entity or a goal. Same circle, same guy. Sometimes you see these snakes closer to the circle, but we're going to see that again. Again, back to color. Let's see if there's any more pictures. Well, you see it here. All right, my horse. Okay. Sap, let's go back. Let's get to the snicker. He who is beneath. This double, I'm going to show you, is also the duality. I'm going to show you your trap in between this, the ego. Not when you die, now. I'm going to show you. I just want to read this. Mythology. Aker was depicted as one of the earth gods guarding the gate to yonder site. He protected the deceased king against the three demonic snakes, the lollipop gill, the three bitches. This trinity is representing that. They kept showing threes throughout this movie. So there's all, remember, I talked about him on the series of three, What to Do When You Die, about how your cosmic boat could get stuck between the two lions. They're also represented as the two mountains. This is where your cosmic boat could get stuck. And you see this red sun? This represents Glinda, the good witch of the north, as well. She's with the sun Ra. Here's the two mountains. Just look. Here's the two mountains right here. This represents what's the goal. So I'm going to say it, but I'm going to show you it. The goal here, this matrix was designed as an imbalance with the patriarchy because one of your major goals is to understand the feminine principle. That's why he broke through Frank L. Baum with the woman and the woman's suffrage and the goddess worship, because he understood a key and he was able to get it in the pyramid text and tell you the story of the journey. But one of the things that it talked about and I talked about is in the Judy K. King book, The Isis Thesis, was during your DNA transformation process, the boat stops between the two mountains or between the two lions. What needs to happen is this lactose B or whatever is lac something, lac A, another gene comes in, fills in what's missing in your DNA, and the boat keeps moving. That's another way of saying realization of the goddess, or another way of saying Glinda from the north. And even in the movie, she comes down in a red ball like that. It's called the bubbles. So let's see, mythology. Three harmonic stakes, he named them by encircling the deceased king. Aker, sealed his deceased from the poisoning breath of the snake demon, another demon, his name was Gab, and I'm assuming the prince connected with Seth, and even determined with the Seth animal. He's actually taught, this entity is connected to humanity. You're going to see it. I'm just laying it out. Aker also gives birth to the god Kepler, the young rising sun, the ship of Aker is connected with the horizon of the north and the west, forming a mythological bridge between the two horizons with his body. Certain sarcophagus texts from the Tomb of Ramses, blah, 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 describe how the sun god travels through the underworld, I don't know, going through the belly of Acre. And Apophis was cut by Seth, right? In this case, Acre seems to be some kind of representation of the underworld itself. Acre is a representation of the underworld itself. And let me see. Okay, let's read this description. Acre was described as a torso lion, wildly open mouth, maybe the villain, two million torso blah. From the Middle Kingdom onward, occur a path with a pair of twin lions named Duaj, meaning yesterday, and Sefer, meaning tomorrow. Yesterday, tomorrow. Think about this now. Acre was often titled He Who's Looking Forward and He Who's Looking Behind. When depicted as a pair of hieroglyphic signs for the horizon, the two merged mountains, a hieroglyphic sign for horizon, two merged mountains, and a sun disk was between the lions sitting back to back. Later also emerged two torsos, becoming twin human heads, let me see. There's some points I wanted to say. Egyptian underworld god. So this guy is yesterday, tomorrow. Yesterday, tomorrow. Yesterday, tomorrow. He's the god of the horizon. The sun comes up, sun goes down. Sun comes up, sun goes down. Or you're stuck here. And they say in the Book of the dead king can get stuck between the mountains until Isis comes. Here's the revelation, niggas. Hold on to your pussies. You're already in the cusp. This is happening to you. You're stuck here right now. How do you know that? I'm going to show you how you know that, nigga. Hold on. Let me find it now. Make shit. Make shit like, you know, this is a movie. Oh, no, no, no. Here we go. You know the face on Mars? You know the Sphinx, right? Where we at? Look at this. Soak this in, nigga. This picture here, make a little bit bigger. What they did was took, let's say, the right side of the face on Mars and just flipped it over, and it looks like this, a man. But when they took the left side, or vice versa, it flipped it over or inverted something, it looks like this, a cat, a half man, half cat. Where did you see a half man, half cat before? Look at this guy. The half man, half cat. These are the lions. This is the stretch of Acre. You are now caught between there. You exist between the mountains. This is Acre. You're in the cusp now. You've already died, nigga. It is how you change your DNA. You're just dreaming. You're this guy. And you're figuring out the answers to Earth. But what you need to figure out is what your DNA needs to move on out of these mountains that you're trapped in. The sunset, sunrise, sunset, that's what it's telling you. These niggas wasn't playing. It's telling you, nigga, you are between these two motherfuckers, Mars and Earth, is the cosmic understanding or the interpretation in this dream. But you're not going to die and do this. You're doing it now. But your boat has stopped. Know what you need to continue your journey, Dorothy. The first thing you need, because they tell you in the Book of the Dead, Isis. Isis or set for you for living in your life, niggas. They're saying you need this divine feminine. One
say, oh, come on, don't do that, nigga. You need this divine feminine to, while you just think it'll make you feel better, but it's actually the DNA change. So when Bobby got into goddess worship, he actually changed his DNA. He's done. So though I understood and studied the goddess worship, when my sister parked my ass, then Khadija parked my ass, then my mother, I know her spirit was parking my ass and training my ass, and that now that my son's come home with his family, they in our basement, his lady's here, who's like my daughter as well, 20, and she's a mother, and the baby's here. I live with a triple goddess at this point, but it brought a whole new understanding. I hear Khadija more than I've ever heard of. I see more than I've ever seen with her. In other words, that last element of true understanding the feminine happened. And my mother understood spiritually how to fix or lead me to get this fixed because she's the one who broke it. And because I can hear the message, she was able to do it. Most of your mothers and fathers are trying to fix you now from the other side. You just don't know how to do it. You don't know how to hear and listen to the messages. That's what the spiritual work is important for, to hear the messages that's talking in your DNA. Those are guidances to get you through this game. You don't know the rules of the game. It's like Mario, who doesn't know he's supposed to be saving the princess. You don't even know how. You don't know why you jump, why the mushrooms give you wings. You don't know it. You're just doing it. But you got to understand the goal is to reach the end. What do you need to do? All of those instructions were in the Book of the Dead and taken from us. Restored the Judy K. King's understanding and maybe some other, I heard tale that maybe some other niggas dealt with it great. Whatever, whoever, the message needs to get out. I don't need the credit. You can trust me on that. I don't need the credit. You, whoever did it, did it. I just never heard it. And good, 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 good. This is the message. If you haven't been doing it, high five, nigga. High five. Are you happy? Now, or be happy. Or be whatever, but good. Just, nigga, this threatens nothing. This is good. We need this message out. That's what this is all for. We all supposed to be doing this shit in some sort of way. You feel compelled. You should do it, but just do it. You know what I'm saying? And let the cards fall what they may. Now, and that's important. That's important. You know, this is not Springer. This is not who you got. This is about honor. If you're not honorable, they put on the movie Penitentiary. How many of you have seen Penitentiary? I've seen Penitentiary in the movies in 1982. It is fucking top five on the most exploited nigga movies ever. Leon Isaac Kennedy, fucking moron. Jane Kennedy was fine. They did a sex tape where he was into some depraved shit with objects and all sorts of shit. And, you know, but it is what it is. They like what they like. And it came out at a time where she lost her career. She was a sports announcer, one of the finest chicks to walk the planet. Lost her career, got fat, and all this kind of abusive-looking shit happened to her. Now she would have been Kim Kardashian, famous for sucking dick, famous for doing nothing, kind of like a lot of niggas in consciousness, famous for doing nothing, the Kardashians of consciousness, as my boy Roswell would say. There's a lot of conscious Kardashians walking around, famous for doing nothing. Let me not get into a rant mood. So, where are we at? 3:15, shit, nigga. And we didn't get to it, but we will. All right, so I'm telling you,
We're not going to die unless it's going to happen. It's happening now. And just reincarnation, dying and coming back here, is because you're stuck in the house of the lion. You didn't get the message or the actual work that needs to be done. So I showed you the two lions, Mars and Earth. That's the tail. I don't think the Kamites put that shit up either. And this matrix was built. It's kind of like you got to think of yourself like Mario. Mario wakes up, and if he was conscious, the only thing his spirit tells him is to walk that way, jump over that. This is your enemy, and the goal is here. That's all you're doing. But you forgot how to play the game. But eventually it's going to come back, like it's coming back now. That's why it's coming through all of us. Because this is our message. This is not my. See, that's the problem. This isn't my message. You get to say, well, you never heard it before. Boom. It's coming through me first or whatever. But so what? Oh, it's coming to me, too. Here's my take on it. Who gives a fuck? This is all of ours. No one owns this shit. You need to really get that. And it's going to emerge in us as when at certain times, and it's doing it now. That's all. Let's get it. So, let me see if there's anything else. Well, of course, we got the inducements. Let's see. All right. All right. Maybe it's time. So what I'm going to do is stop the share, because that's what fucked us up last time. I just get through the movie. All right, so the movie opens up, and it's the whole backdrop is the sky. So psychologically, what they want to do is put you in a daydream state. They want to make you believe that this is a dream. So they want to start by putting your head in the clouds. How do you, that makes you happy, it makes you bright. So in other words, if I'm sitting looking down, usually I'm depressed. They say your posture, even in meditation, if you sit up straight and look up, even smile. Even I'm doing that. It looks brighter. It looks hopeful. So to create hope in you, look up. So clouds make you think of looking up. They're giving you hope, and then they give you this message about being a kid and from young at heart. But they only took you there because they put you back in daydreaming by taking clouds. So that tells me already they're doing psychological warfare on your ass in this movie. Okay, it opens up. Dorothy is running down a road with her dog in her basket, scared of something. You don't see it yet. What they're trying to display here, number one, her basket represents her subconscious mind. The dog represents Anubis or her guidance. She pauses on the road. The camera comes in close, and she is scared as shit. Told him, did they hurt you? Told him, is they this? What's going on? She isn't coming yet. She's scared of something you don't see yet. What this is representing as you as a little innocent kid, because Dorothy represents you.
Well, what the fuck? Like something just walked by me in the back. What the fuck, man?
Like, Dorothy represents you. She represents your innocence. She represents youth. But she also represents consciousness. She's becoming conscious that this world is dangerous. They're threatening her guide dog or her consciousness, and she's running away. In the beginning, these things are invisible. Your demons are invisible. It's what you think. Somebody, you see something that's disturbing, you start thinking something's in the closet. That's even a better way of putting it. Why do kids think something's in the closet? Something's in the bed. My granddaughter already, when you close the door, she hears the door opening, she's already at the rent. Like, who the fuck is coming through the door? Like, you won. You just getting here. How did you, where is that coming from? So if that keeps developing, but something under the bed, as you start moving and understanding life, some things start to materialize. Laws of attraction. So they're trying to show she's conscious, but the conspiracy theory thing
which most white people get into first. Most niggas too get into first, usually lead to their conscious upliftment. Ours, really, we always hated white people, so it starts from they're from the caves and we're from fucking the pyramids. But for them, conspiracy theory, that's what you see with all Donald Trump's people. The government is doing this. They're really doing that. And you know they stole the boat. Come on, motherfucker. And then it turns into you storming the Capitol. Like I said, all that shit was just to pull these niggas out. So at this point in her consciousness, her mind is starting to create bad guys. So she's walking on her path to consciousness, and she's nervous. Well, not necessarily she's becoming conscious and she's nervous. So she's running home conscious with conspiracy in her head. She goes to the farm. She lives amongst the animals. She's on Earth. She goes to her aunt and uncle. These guys represent, or she's trying to represent, it's not really your mother or your father. This lady, as sweet and as nice as she was, and as dangerous and deadly as she was, in the same person, kind of like you. Their mama, they just had a baby, little fat baby. That kind of thing is, or duality, is what we're all fighting or facing in some sort of way. Your mama is the sweetest lady, but she's actually the one that fucked you up. One of the things I used to say in my class was, what's the greatest forms of mind control? And people go through their list and they will always end up over religion, government, you know, the Pope, rap, music, you would say whatever. But no one said the one and true master of your mind, your mother. You wouldn't give a fuck about religion if your mother didn't make you go to church. She's the facilitator of it. She's the one who had your mind. So the pain you feel is because of what she did or didn't do, but she was the first programmer. She's the first program. That's what they tell you in the Willie Lynch letter. Get to that mama because she'll train the kid to feed out your hand. You understand what I'm saying? So your mama is the double-edged sword, but the reality is she's not your mama. Everyone down here is playing a role. You are self-created. You have no mama. You have no father. You are going through this to recreate yourself. You're going through this to improve your DNA. That's the whole journey. You are in the underworld right now. You're going through the gates right now. Your boat has stopped between the two lions right now. There's plenty of stories and methods to get out in the pyramid text that you can use now. Panic has left right now. Now, the only thing waiting is for this body to go. What I can guarantee you niggas right now is I couldn't come back. I graduated. It's gone. The pain is gone. The weight is gone. The anger is gone. The need to be right with you is gone. I'll say, well, no, you're not some pushover. Nah, nigga, that's wrong. Well, panic, relax. Nah, nigga, that's wrong. Panic, relax. Well, maybe you're right then. That's as far as I'm going. I'll try to reason. I'll try to tell you the alternative. But if you feel that way, I'm not going to argue with your shadow, Tupac. Those days are done. And we needed to go through all of these debates and get tired of them because we can't bring that bullshit with us into this new world that's coming, i.e., the Mayans talk about the new world. The sixth world is the next world. We're moving into that. We've moved into that world. It's going to truly manifest in 2021, now, this year. You turn that 21 around, what is it? 12! This is the 2012, nigga. This is the shift. And they know it. That's why they're cleaning up their motherfucking act. Winter is here. They knew this shit. They were psychologically getting me ready for Game of Thrones. It's the Game of Thrones. Who will be the next king? They're hoping to stay throne.
don't think it's going to happen. We're going to make them retreat underground somewhere. That's what Charles Manson and them was doing in Death Valley, trying to find a gateway to the fucking underworld. Did you know that? They understand. When they was in the caves, I'm thinking the sun is going to change, and they won't be able to survive. They are the ones that go underground. All them underground shit that you're telling me, you go to Walmart, you get underground. You go underground in Denver. At the Denver airport, there's a gateway underground, and under the mountains, they got a whole heap of shit. You know, 2012, the movie, them boats that you know, saving the rich and all of it. That shit's real. They got to get away from the sun. That's a whole other story. All right, so Dorothy, I'm going to try to get this out for you. So Dorothy is coming to her aunt and uncle, which is saying, they never spoke of what the fucking mother? Because she doesn't have one. This is pure symbols. They are tending to chicks. And Dorothy is trying to tell them her conscious findings. Just like you try to tell your mother, ain't she in church and I don't believe it? It doesn't feel real. Shut the fuck up and go to church. So that's what they pretty much did. Shut up, Dorothy. But I'm telling you, this bitch is trying to take my dog, my consciousness. This conspiracy theory, she's conscious, she's talking to the dead. So, honey, this old incubator is going bad. We're likely to lose out a lot of our chicks, even the babies. Poor little thing. That's what Dorothy says, poor little thing. What they're talking about is these chicks represent motherfuckers who failed, and they're coming back to Earth. And these adopted people or these aunts, this symbol of mother and father is really just a symbol of what you're just being born into. I mean, again, you honor and respect it. I don't see any less, but the reality is I grew past needing a mommy here. I'm no longer human in that way. I get that I'm still having a body, still having an experience that still can feel pain and pleasure. Yes. But we're talking about certain psychological needs. That's really all that matters. Your human body is going to need food, pussy, water. It is a product of this reality, and it needs to survive in this matrix. It never leaves this matrix. When you die, it stays here because it's a product here, and it sustains itself here. So, yes, you do all the human shit, but psychologically. I'm sorry, I don't see her as responsible anymore for my pain. I let her off the hook because she never really was on the hook. Just like Dorothy, and I'm trying to show you, you're making your own pain. She started seeing it on an invisible level first. That's why they show you she's running from something you can't see. They're trying to make the statement she's seeing it all in her head first. She's trying to complain to them. They're not listening. So the next interface, she meets these three farmhands. Now, we know that these three farmhands are the later guys she meets in her dream or her adventure. They're giving her hints of who and what they are and what they mean. This represents the conscious clues you get. This is consciousness showing its face to her. They are also protecting